Right, I want to start a journey today towards Christmas Day. We're having Christmas Day here, you know? And it falls neatly for us this year. Christmas Day is on a Sunday. Is that good? I love that. When Christmas Day falls on a Sunday, and we're able to celebrate it like it's the Lord's Day. It's always the Lord's Day, but today is the Lord's Day. And I want to talk this morning about Mary and Joseph. And I want to turn to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Just that last little portion of scripture that talks about Mary and Joseph. And this is our first sermon of Advent. And I think it's a great message this morning. I've just basically entitled it, very, very basic title of Boy Meets Girl. Okay, Boy Meets Girl. It's a lovely story. But I tell you something, it's one that really, if you put yourself in Mary and Joseph's shoes, it's not one that you would want. But we're going to look at it because it's all to do with relationships. You know, that's what it's all about. It's always been about that. Whether it's about Mary and Joseph or whether it's, you know, right through to, you know, those that Jesus had come to be his disciples, right through to those that came to him. It's all about the church, right through to when we get to heaven. It's all to do with relationships. Isn't that amazing? So let's look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was like this. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make a public example of her, was able to take her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary for your wife. For that which is conceived in her by the Holy Spirit, she will bring forth a son, and his name will be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, as it was spoken by the prophet, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which God interpreted for us as God with us. Then Joseph woke from his sleep, and as the angel of the Lord had told him, to go and take unto him Mary his wife. And he didn't have relationship with her until she brought forth the son, and he called his name Jesus. Very simple story. Very, very simple story. And is this working? Yes. Boy meets girl. Romantic scene, isn't it? Lovely full moon, palm tree, and there we have, you know, part of the journey. Little family on holiday on the beach. And but I want to think back to, you know, this whole story of for Mary and Joseph. I often ask myself a question: was it love at first sight? You see, the Bible doesn't tell us a lot about Mary and Joseph when they first met. We have to assume a lot. We're assuming that, you know, this young girl, who was anywhere between kind of 14 and 16, we would just say, "Catch yourself on. You're not seeing any young boy at this age." And I'm sure, you know, her father would have had a close eye on her. But nevertheless, there was Joseph. He spied her, and I'm sure it was love at first sight because it says they were engaged. Interesting. That's all we're told, that they were engaged. And I wonder, you know, as they met, was there that first awkward moment? You know what it's like? Think back. You know, think back to that first awkward moment. Do you remember your first encounter with your first boyfriend, because you might not have married your first boyfriend, you see. You see, you're going right back here. Right? And then what about, you know, the girlfriends as well? You know, what was your chat-up line? I would love to know your chat-up lines. I think that would be so funny, because it moves, doesn't it, with age and with culture. And one or two that I came across was, I can imagine, you know, guy meeting girl and says, can I have your picture so I can show Santa what I want for Christmas? That's not a bad chat-up line, is it? Hey, is that okay? Hey? Or, wow, your legs must be really tired because you've been running through my mind all night. Is that cheesy? Yes, okay. As well, I didn't give you 1 to 10 and hold your cards up. You'd probably give me 0 anyway. Or what about, man, if I were to rearrange the alphabet, I would put you and I together. Isn't that lovely? Or, do you believe in love at first sight? Or do you think I should walk past again? Is that good? John likes that one. John likes that one. Several times, yeah. I wonder how many times, though. That's the thing, you know. Do you have plans for the rest of your life? You can just almost hear the answer to that one. Yeah, but not with you. Yeah? Can you just hear that one? Can't you? Yeah? Or what about this one? This is kind of gushy. But do you have a map? I just keep getting lost in your eyes. You swooners. You should hear yourself from here. I'll tell you later. But do you remember dating? Do you remember that first kiss? Do you remember the holding of the hands? Do you remember walking hand in hand, or maybe it was arm in arm, down to the park bench? Do you remember that first meal together when you sat opposite each other? Yeah. Maybe very nervous, hands shaking. Maybe the chemistry was there between between you. Maybe you talked about your favorite music. Michael Bublé. Yeah, there's a man. Michael Bublé. And his song, I Haven't Met You Yet. Eh? Or what about the other one? Hold On. That's a lovely song, isn't it? And then you stand and you talk about not just your music, but your dreams. You talk of your dreams. You talk about, in that whole realm of being romantic. And, having the house and maybe the children and having a car and a holiday. For some, they dream of winning the lottery. Do you remember the advert? You just want to be together. And that's the stage they're at. That's where they're at. We just want to be together. We just want to talk about the things that, we love to talk about. We love that whole kind of journey. I wonder what it was like for Mary and Joseph. You ever wondered what their dreams might have been? You ever wondered what Mary, young 16, let's say she's 16, 14, I think 16. What were her dreams? What's a young girl's dreams at that age? What about Joseph? I mean, it seems like they were both very upright. It seems like they had a good standing in the community. We're talking about relationships here, and I know that for many, Christmas time puts a strain on relationships. You know that, don't you? Mainly because, we work all year, and then all of a sudden people find 2 weeks off together. What do you do with 2 weeks off together? Hey, what do you do with all that time? That's the truth. A wee bit funny, but it is the truth. What do you do with all that time? Don't know if you've ever... Do you like Snoopy? Do you like Charlie Brown? I like Charlie Brown. In a Peanuts cartoon, Lucy says to Snoopy, there are times that you really bug me, but I must admit there are also times when I feel like giving you a hug. And Snoopy replies, that's the way I am, huggable and buggable. And we are. We're huggable and buggable. Do you know, this season, I want us to get from Bah Humbug to Hallelujah. I want us to get to that place where we're not saying, oh, I dread Christmas. It doesn't have to be about going shopping and feeling under pressure about getting the presents. And it really doesn't have to be that way. You can choose to be yourself. Forget about other people. To a point. But Christmas is about other people. And that's really what I'm getting at. It isn't what you buy them. It's the relationship. It's that connection. It's about being there. A simple text, a simple call, a letter, a card. So my goal this season is to get you from going, bah, humbug, it's Christmas again. Ha. To going, fantastic. Hallelujah. It's Christmas. It's about Jesus. It's not about the presents. It's about him. It's about us. Because I think it is about us. I really do. We can say all we like about, oh, it's Jesus. But it's about us. That's what Christmas is about. That's why Jesus has the church as number one focus on his mind. It's about the church. And he wants us to not get to that place where, oh, humbug, humbug, it's Christmas. No, it is Christmas. Hallelujah. We're getting together. Now, for some, it is a struggle. And there's stresses and pressures and hurts and frustrations. And holiday seems to magnify that for many, many people. In fact, psychologists tell us that Christmas is a time of intensified depression, conflict, and loneliness. It really is. Wouldn't it be great if we could just turn that whole thing around ourselves? That if we started here, and the ripple effect of that blessed other people. Wouldn't that just be amazing? That if we could begin to bless even one other person in our lives, we would have doubled the blessing already this morning. Now, we can do that. Because the Bible tells us to, don't just be hearers of what you're hearing this morning. Go and do it. Go and do it. Go and bless somebody. Give someone a call. Give them a text. So, what about Mary? Were her dreams dashed? Was she thinking about marriage, and was she thinking about home and children? What about Joseph? You know, his dreams, his aspirations, his goals, his future. Joseph, from what I can see in the Bible, demonstrated qualities, as well as Mary did, qualities that set them apart from other people in the community. The Bible, just by highlighting them, you know, spells that one out. Joseph valued relationships, both with God and his family. It says that he was an upright man. And the same qualities, I think, that we see in Joseph are the qualities that you and I need to possess. So the first thing I would like us to look at today is that Joseph, first of all, Joseph and Mary were selfless in their relationships. See, verse 19 says that Joseph was determined to take care of things quietly. Really, that says a lot about him, doesn't it? Could you put yourself in Joseph's position? Now, you're going on ahead of me because you're looking at the slide already. I know what you're doing. But let me get there in a moment. Joseph is now faced with a pregnant girlfriend. He's engaged to her. What does he do? He's not had any kind of relationship with her. You know, not a sexual relationship. He hasn't gone there at all. He's been upright. You know, did they even hold hands? We don't know. Did they kiss? We don't know. We don't know what level of relationship they had. But now he's faced with his girlfriend, his fiance, who's now pregnant. The Bible says that he didn't make a public disgrace of her, but he did it quietly. That says a lot about him. And Joseph was that kind of person, I think, that you and I would enjoy having as a friend. I think he's the kind of guy that would have a wise head on his shoulders. And I think, you know, looking at this and this whole story that around Jesus, because obviously, you know, that was, you know, Mary having that visitation in the night, who's going to have a son. I mean, imagine what she went through. Mary, I've got great news for you. You're going to have a baby. Do you think Mary went, woohoo? No, I think she'd have been scratching her head and think that she had too much cheese that night. She's dreaming. She's going to have a baby. No, hold on now. Come on, the science, the biology tells us that kind of one and one make two. But hold on, there's only one here. How can I be pregnant? How on earth could I even be pregnant? Come on, this is just not happening. And then something, there's a realization of this because she's in tune with God, that there's a witness in her spirit. There's something's going on here spiritually. And she turns it around and she says, and she gets to this point seemingly quickly. We don't know what the time lapse is here. But she gets to the point, she says, you know what? Let it be to me according to God's will. Now that's quite a turnaround. I know women who have found themselves pregnant, cried their eyes out. Who've just fallen apart. Who've even said, no, I'm going to get an abortion. I'm not even going down that road. Do you know what doesn't say that here? Think of the turmoil that Mary went through when that was that announced. We magnify this as the annunciation, as the fantastic news that Mary received. That might have been the most awful moment for her, first. The disgrace of it. Culturally disgraced. Culturally removed from her family. She could have been killed. Stoned to death. A young girl whose future was not even going to happen. And then all of a sudden, she turns around and she says, "You know what? God, let it be according, you know, let it be to me according to your will." That is an amazing step. That's an amazing journey just right there. And so immediately she's got this relationship with God. Joseph has this relationship with God. Mary and Joseph have this relationship with each other, but it's not sexual. So there's something spiritual going on in the picture, but it's relationship. And I want to say this, just coming out of that story for a bit, but Christmas is a time to value relationships. It really is. It's a time to put value on that. You know, the joyful atmosphere of Christmas is a great time to reach out to both relatives and friends. And that's what we should be doing. I think this whole story tells us that. Let me ask you a very serious question. Are you a refreshing person to be around at Christmas? Are you refreshing? Just take that question home with you. Are you a refreshing person to be with at Christmas? If not, then be one. Make Christmas different this year. Okay? Are you a constant complainer? Are you a very draining person to be with? You don't refresh people, but you deplete people emotionally. Why not build them up? Why not be a person who kind of builds people up? Someone that people would love you to be around. I've written this up on the screen for you. Dr. A. Dudley Dennison Jr. writes, "I believe in God's master plan for the interaction of lives. He moves people in and out of each other's lives, and each leaves his mark on the other. You find you're made up of bits and pieces of everyone who ever touched your life. You are more because of it, and you would be less if they had not touched you." I think that's beautiful. The interaction and the interwovenness of relationships, if there's such a word. But we weave in and out of each other's lives, and it's meant to be that way. I constantly remind people that we're not an island. God has brought us together for a time such as this. It's great you sitting next to each other, get used to it, because this is the way it's meant to be. Have fun. Enjoy being together. Enjoy Christmas. Have a laugh. It's good to laugh in church. It's good to have fun. It's a good place to be. But Christmas, you know, is a natural time, I reckon, to think of the past and present relationships that we have. Let me ask you a question. Is there someone in your life with whom you need to touch base with? You need to make a personal contact with. You need to write a letter, an email, you know, send a text, make a phone call. Maybe there's someone right now that's come to your mind, "Do you know what? I've not been in touch with that person, and they've really blessed me." Or maybe there's someone here this morning, you know, and you said, "You know, I've never thanked them for just being who they are and just being part of this church." We just need to be there. Relationships are important, vitally important. True friendship is something that money can't buy. You know, everyone's, you know, doing the lottery, trying to win the mega bucks, you know, to try and make ends meet. But you know what? You can have the money and not the love and not the relationship. True friendship is something that money can't buy. Great gifts only go so far in developing, great gifts can only go so far in developing relationships of value. Great gifts bring a moment of happiness, but the feeling is only temporary and will not last. You'll know this guy at the bottom, Scrooge. I'm sure it's something that many watch Scrooge each year. Eh? A couple of people watch Scrooge. I like Scrooge. I like watching Scrooge. You know? Do you know, there's some programs at Christmas that you'll watch. You think, yeah, now this is Christmas. You know, you'll watch one film. Do you remember what's that one film that they show every year? The Wizard of Oz. The Snowman. Miracle on 34th Street. What else? The Grinch. Wonderful Life. What is it? Wonderful Life. You see, who is it? James Stewart. You see, we have these films, and it's not in The Great Escape. Is that after 2 weeks together? Is that what you're talking about? The Great Escape. Great film. Eh? I'm watching your house this Christmas. The Great Escape. Gerald's getting out the window. Do you know, we have all these films, and we watch these films, and it's not Christmas till we watched it. And then we feel, hey, it's Christmas. Fantastic. There's one film we watch every year. Well, there's three or four of them now because they're a series. But, you know, we find ourselves not just watching them at Christmas. We watch them every month. Home Alone. Home Alone. Fantastic. What you can get up to when your parents aren't there. I love it. You know what? Here's Scrooge. Here we are, have him at the bottom, wishing you a merry humbug. That just says it all, doesn't it? If money could buy you happiness, then surely Scrooge in the Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens would be the happiest man ever. In his journey with the ghost of Christmas present, Scrooge gets a lesson in what let's call spiritual economics. He sees clearly that gold and silver are not the true index of values. You see, people are. Scrooge sees the impoverished Cratchit, you know, this little guy that works with him. And their name is just a reminder that they're barely scratching out an existence. They've got nothing to do with it. They've got very little, you know, Cratchit and his family. You feel really sorry, but you know what? They're very happy with the little that they've got. But the ghost reminds Scrooge of an incident that had happened earlier that Christmas Eve. And Scrooge was asked by another wealthy gentleman for a Christmas donation for charity. Well, that was just bad. You don't ask him for anything. And Scrooge responded with bitter sarcasm. Are the poor houses still in operation? And the orphanages he's talking about. And receiving that, yes it is, they're still working, Scrooge expressed relief, for he was convinced that those institutions were primary aid for the poor. That's where he thought they belonged. And the volunteer solicitor replied, but many would die rather than go to those places. Then Scrooge replies with this cutting remark, then let them die. But he finishes it with this part of sentence. He says, let them die and decrease the excess population. Just threw away commodities. That's how he saw them. What kind of person would make such a harsh statement? Let them die and decrease the excess population. How could anyone be so cold-hearted? You know, like Scrooge, many people learn the riches of love surpass that of money. Some people learn it the hard way. A lot of people put a lot of effort in getting money to exclusion of relationships. Only to find that when the money's gone, so are the relationships. They're left on their own. It's a real good lesson to learn when we're watching that. So when you're watching Scrooge this year, remember the sermon. How important relationships really are. See, I think the Cratchits, we learn what true relationships are all about. They're found not in money, but being together. And carving that out in such difficult times. So Joseph and Mary were selfless in their relationships. And secondly, Joseph and Mary demonstrated sacrificial love. See, they not only demonstrated selflessness, but sacrificial love. And I think that's the heart of the story. As I said, Mary was the most misunderstood woman that there was. She was pregnant. She didn't have a relationship with a man. And this selflessness that I'm talking about, how she demonstrated sacrificial love as well, was that she denied herself by then saying, do you know what? Whatever happens to me, let it be to God. Let it be according to his will. That is one awesome place to get to. Joseph chose to love God over any convenient choice of just divorcing Mary. And I have to admire his sacrificial love and his courage and his commitment. His devotion to Mary, but his devotion to God. Because he was willing to endure that embarrassment and the questions and the accusations that come from that. You know, we read this story so glibly. We move on from the end of chapter 1 into chapter 2 without really recognizing the implications of these two people. And yet that's very much the very beginning of even Jesus' journey, how he came into this world. Look at the context. The context says everything. Joseph's love did not waver, even when he was taken from his homeland to Nazareth for the census. They were all told to go back to register in this census. The whole country was. And Joseph was taken away from his occupation. Think about this. He had to leave his job. He had no insurance. He had no holiday leave. He had no compensation because of lack of unemployment. He laid all that down. You know, we would go under at the implications of this relationship. We know Joseph and Mary lived below the poverty line. We're told later on in Luke, in another chapter, in Luke chapter 2, verse 22, that they could only afford to bring two doves. You know, for the purification rites, as an offering to God. Two doves. That was very little in those days. Do you know what? Thinking about our relationship, we get riches when we invest in lives, when we invest in each other. You know, we can store up treasures when we treasure each other. When we're right there. See, true riches are not found in the stingy, you know, gaining of wealth, but in the extravagant investment of love. Here in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 5, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record of wrongs. It's interesting, that's only a part of 1 Corinthians 13. It goes on to talk about how it endures everything. And that's quite a chapter right in the middle of all the gifts that are given in the scriptures. There's a story of an event that took place a number of years ago, a true story, and I like this story. There's a man named Paul who received a car. See, this is my car, by the way. I don't know if you recognize that. It's out in the car park at the moment. I just thought I'd take a photograph of it, and no. So, it's a goer. It goes well. So it helps me do my visitation more quickly. Yeah, it's more economical. But a man named Paul received a brand new car as a Christmas present from his brother. That's not a bad Christmas present to get, is it? That's pretty good. I'm going to start writing lists of Christmas gifts that you can buy me. Is that okay? On Christmas Eve, Paul came out of his office and this car was just waiting for him. And as he got into his car, there was a young boy in ragged clothes standing, looking at his car. And he was touching it and he was holding it. This is a true story. And this little boy looked up and he says, "Hey, mister, is this your car?" And Paul said to the little boy, "Yeah, this is my car." And he said, "Do you know what?" He said, "I got this as a gift. My brother bought this for me," as he told the little boy. He said, "Your brother gave you this car?" He said, "You mean it cost you nothing? He gave you this car?" Paul nodded, said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah." He was very generous, wasn't he? "Boy," he says, "I wish," and Paul actually owned the car, thought that he knew what that little boy was going to say. But he said, "You know what?" He says, Paul thought he knew what that little boy was wishing, that he had a brother like that too. But he surprised Paul. He went on to say this, "I wish," the boy said, "that I could be a brother like that." And Paul looked at him in amazement and he asked, "Now, would you like to have a ride in my car?" So Paul thought that's the best that he could do at that time. The boy exclaimed, "Oh yeah, I'd love to have a ride in your car." So bearing in mind this is a true story, after a short ride, the little boy turned to Paul and he said, "Mister, would you mind driving in the front of my house?" Paul smiled, and he thought that he knew why that the little boy wanted to drive in front of his house, just to show off the new car. Hey, Mom, Dad, look at the car that I'm driving in. So he thought that's what the little boy was thinking. So he said, yeah, sure, I'll drive up in front of your house. So anyway, Paul came and drove up in front of the house. The little boy jumped out of the car, ran into the house, and out came this little boy carrying his little crippled brother who had polio. And he set him down on the bottom step, and he just, you know, shimmied up against him. And he pointed to the car and he says, hey, do you see that car? He says, isn't it beautiful? He says, his brother gave him that car for Christmas. He says, you know what? He says, someday I want to give you a car just like that. And he says, what I'd love to do is just show you all the things that are in the shops at Christmas. Because that little boy hadn't gotten out. So Paul walked over to the boys and says, hey guys, do you want to ride in the car right now to see the lights through the streets at Christmas? And they both nodded eagerly, and with bright faces they got into the car. And Paul leaned over and lifted the little lad up, the little crippled boy, and he put him in the front of his car. And his eyes were shining, and he climbed in. The three of them had this fantastic ride. That's a true story. And I think it's a story of an example of where true treasure is. There's an advert on TV, and it's about this little boy saying, is it Christmas yet? Is it Christmas yet? And the whole emphasis on the advert is that he can't wait for Christmas to open up his presents. And he said, no, it's not Christmas yet, not Christmas yet. And he's getting up the next morning, is it Christmas yet? Is it Christmas yet? No, it's not Christmas yet. And then it's Christmas morning, and you see the presents down round by the tree. And the little boy gets out of bed, and he throws the bed, you know, the quilt back, and he's running downstairs, and he runs past the Christmas tree and past all the presents. And he goes into a cupboard of a present that he has wrapped. And he runs into his mum and dad's bedroom, and he wakens them up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Happy Christmas! He couldn't wait to give the present to them that he had wrapped. Not about the presents that were for him at the bottom of the tree. See, that's what Christmas is about. When we start thinking about others and our, you know, those sitting next to us, those in our homes, those that we need to connect with, that's the extravagant relationships of Christmas. You know, this Christmas we need to make, I think, a commitment to value and care for the things that God places in your lives. To look at where you're making investments, where your relationships. What about your children? Are you taking time to deal with those? I love this next slide. We were here a few weeks ago. Winnie the Pooh, the author, A. Milne, had a son called Christopher Robin. And it's a really sad story because unlike the boy in the classic children's story, the real Christopher wasn't so carefree. See, life at home was stressful. Now, you'll not gather this from the way it's all written. But life was stressful. His famous father knew how to connect with other children's imaginations, but he failed miserably to connect with his son. Isn't that sad? Christopher Robin grew up to detest his father. And the reason was easy to trace, that his father had time to write stories for other children, but never had time for his own. That puts a sad reflection on Winnie the Pooh, doesn't it? But that's what's behind that. You know, as parents, we need to ask Jesus to fill our hearts so much that our love overflows into our children, those in our lives. Christmas is about people. It's about relationship. We can become partners with God in blessing people. I want to say this year, I want us to plan to do something for someone that can do nothing in return for us. That's why I love our carol singing. On the 15th, Thursday the 15th of December, we're carol singing outside Morrison's. Isn't it interesting, when we do carol singing every year, the first thing people do when you knock on their door goes, their hand goes in their pocket, and you hear the rustling of change. It's almost like they've been prepared to put the pennies in their pocket so when the carol singers come, they'll give them a few pennies. But you know what? I love it when we're able to say, no, we don't want your money. And they go, what? No, we don't want your money. Really? Yeah. we want you to have a chocolate. Happy Christmas. Oh, thanks very much. And I think that is so refreshing, is it not? When we can bless the community without having anything back in return. Isn't that what God wants us to do? I think it is. I think every time it's what God wants us to do, to bless the community without us having anything in return. Last point. Joseph and Mary were obedient to God's call. Oh, I'll get to this in a moment.
Home Alone.
But Joseph and Mary, they were obedient to God's call. Joseph was selfless in his relationship. Joseph and Mary, they demonstrated the sacrificial love to each other, but to God. Joseph did exactly what the angel commanded him to do in a dream. Would you dare do that? I hope so. When was the last time we had a dream from God? When was the last time we heard from God that we did something about it? I get excited when God does that stuff. God speaks to me in pictures. God speaks through his Bible. Yeah, it is. It's great. Yeah, absolutely. The arts and cornerstone. But he does. He speaks to me in pictures. It's very simple. I understand pictures. A picture can speak a 1,000 words. Joseph could pray from his heart, you know, to Jesus, that same prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. I think he could very easily have prayed the same prayer. You could hear Joseph saying it, God, not my will, but yours be done. I think that same heart-wrenching position was there in Joseph. God, I don't want to go down this road. I don't understand this. I don't know what's happening to me. But this angel has appeared to me in a dream and he's asked me to take Mary, who's pregnant, and I don't even know who she's been with. And I'm sure that's all still going in his mind. Who's she seen? I mean, who's made her pregnant? He's still struggling with this stuff. And yet he says, you know what? I don't understand it, God, but I'm going with you. Do you know, sometimes we think that walking with God is easy. We think, you know, just because we read the Bible, he's going to lead us so easily. It's not that way always. We wrestle with what it is that God wants us to do. It's not easy. But that's why we need each other as well, because as you speak to wise people, and you're all wise people, I know it, I can see it. You are, God has given us wisdom. In fact, the Bible says God has given us his mind. That when the body of Christ comes together, there is that, yes, it seems good to us and to the Holy Spirit. We're able to discern something together more than what we can discern on our own. That's why it's important to fellowship. That's why we need to keep coming to church. That's why we need to keep together. Relationships are important. So he said, not my will, but yours be done. Do you know what? You know, when you're open to be obedient to God's will in your life, you know, it's much easier for you to embrace those qualities of selflessness and sacrificial love. When you're bang on with God, when you're so straight with him, when you're so in line with him. But know when you're not. Oh, you wrestle and you run and you thinking, do you know what? This life really is sore. But you know, when you're in line with God, you think, do you know what? Okay, that's happened. But you know, with God, I'm going to do all things. Because nothing's impossible with him. So as we walk with God, I want to say, you know, keep relationship with each other, but keep relationship with God. And you do that and it draws the cross. Is that right? Relationship with each other. Relationship with God. That's where the cross is. Let me move on to one of our most favorite films, Home Alone. We love this. Chaos. Crazy. But in the original Home Alone movie, this young guy, Kevin, I love the way the mother shouts his name. Kevin! When she realizes he's not there. He's left behind as his family flies off for Christmas, and Kevin is delighted in realizing that he's home alone. And he has the run of the house, and he sledges down the stairs, and he does all kinds of stuff that, you know, all little boys would love to do when their parents are not around. Well, I would, and I'm a big boy. But soon he attempts to entertain himself, and that kind of loses the attractiveness, because it's okay being on your own for a little while. But it's not okay when you're on your own for a long time. And there's no one around. And Christmas becomes empty and sad. Because of this loneliness, Kevin then crosses the border of fear. And he reaches out to this old man. old man Marley, a reclusive neighbor who Kevin thought that he was killing people and putting them in the bin outside. And this fear comes over his face as if, what's he doing at night time? And he hears this rattling and rolling in the basement down below. He's massacring someone and he's putting the body parts in the bin. And Kevin has his little imagination running wild. All because he's home alone. Because everything's not into perspective. When you're on your own and you're making decisions, sometimes perspectives are not right. We need each other. We need to gain perspective from each other. Anyway, Kevin, while he had labeled his neighbor a monster, their encounter together soon became a close one. And the end of the film is beautiful. And you must watch it. I'm not going to tell you what it is. But you got to watch it. Relationships. Someone said that relationships give us a reason to live. Is that not right? And this little one at the bottom, this little picture of a cat snuggling against a dog. That's a first. The only way to have a friend is to be one. You know, we can sit back and we can wait till other people come to us. We will continue to remain lonely and isolated. And Christmas will come and Christmas will go. But it's all about relationships. It's all about connecting. The Bible's full of it. We need God. We need each other. We were not created to be an island. If we're to learn anything from Mary and Joseph, and it's far from a romantic story. Far from romantic. Don't romanticize it. Oh, it's great, I'm sure, boyfriend, girlfriend, all those early connections. But you know what? The bottom line is that in our relationship with each other, God has got to be prevalent. God's got to be so real. Because he's the one that holds us together. He's the one that connects us. Is that right? It's the one thing we have in common as a church. As we're a bunch of strange people coming together for a wonderful time. And as long as we, you know, learn to be like Mary and Joseph, we can be selfless, be sacrificial, be hot on our relationship with each other, go beyond ourselves. I think this thing called relationships works. Don't you? Let's pray. I'm going to ask the band to come back as well. We're going to sing a song. Father, thank you this morning for Mary and Joseph and for the example that they set of laying down their lives for the sake of your plan and purposes, not just for their lives, but for this world and for us. Lord, to think that because of what they did, we benefit from that. Because Jesus was born. Jesus, who lived the perfect life, died on a cross, who's come to set us free. So we thank you, Lord, for Mary and Joseph and for all that they did. And Lord, while we don't romanticize life, we see how difficult it can be. But help us to be those that go the extra mile with somebody else, to contact those that are isolated, those that are on their own. And Lord, to bring a blessing, to bring that sense of well-being this Christmas, and to bring that true message of how God loves them with an everlasting love as he loves us with an everlasting love. Help us to bring joy and peace into people's lives and that sense of well-being for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to worship, shall we?